everybody. Welcome to our crazy fucking toy store that we call Horror Movie Night, where we let a bunch of people give us suggestions once a month, or not once a month, 1 month out of the year, 2 months out of the year sometimes. Who knows? There's not a real set calendar for it. Whatever. I'm rambling. So one of you emailed us and said that you want us to watch Demonic Toys. So, Zach, here's your email. You said, I don't think you guys have ever covered Demonic Toys. No, we have not. It's episode 3 on the 13 Nights of Elvira program that aired on Hulu in 2014. It's currently available on Amazon. It's definitely the worst movie I've ever seen by an order of magnitude, and I think that it would be a good fit for the show. So, I mean, there's a lot in there.
I just got to tell you, man, you need to watch more movies than we watch, because this movie is a fucking dream compared to half the stuff we put ourselves through.
Yeah.
And that's not saying much for this movie.
I genuinely, I need to say, I fucking love this movie. And so, and the reason for that is, like, Matt knows this and other Full Moon Pictures were like my childhood, because when I was younger, I really liked horror movies, but I didn't like to feel scared. So, like, Full Moon was, like, perfect. Now, obviously, I watch, like, serial killers and really scary horror movies because I just want to feel anything. But back when I was a kid, it was like, oh, this is great because it's, like, you know, gory, but, like, I'm not terrified. I fucking love it. Maybe it's nostalgia, but I loved it again watching it at 28.
Demonic Toys, I think, is – it has a lot of the things that I like, and there is a nostalgia for it. And at the best, I can say it's the best of the Demonic Toys franchise.
Aren't there only two?
And there's Dahman versus Demonic Toys and Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys. But my biggest issue with this movie, and this is going to sound weird, it's too long. It's too long for this movie.
Yeah.
It was a good, like, 30-minute short. I get that.
Yeah, like, it's 80 minutes that feels like 3 hours. Like, it goes forever. So the movie starts off with two kids, and they just go, I win. No, I win. War. And I wrote, what game is this? Because that's not how war works. There's never been a point in the game of war where I put my card down before someone else puts their card down and go, I win.
You just never won war then.
No, never. And then we find out that this is a dream. And that leads into the next note that really baffled me for pretty much the entirety of this movie. And I said, I'm not a cop, but I don't think that this is how you do a sting operation.
No, like, it's not.
Like, you don't just send two people in to arrest two other people. And, like, there's so many quotes that I've written down. Because there's one part where they're talking to the guns dealer and he's like, yeah, I got something to show you. And then I wrote, my dick! Like, yeah. Like,
there's so many things where I changed the dialogue in the movie.
And then he goes, what do you think about that? He's like, what I think about that is you're under arrest, motherfucker! And I'm like, this is not how it goes. This is not how a sting operation works. You deserve to be shot, you crazy man.
Like, wait. You're missing... Actually, I rewound this so that I could write the actual quote. You're going to show us something? Or are you going to stand here and jerk us off all night?
Yeah.
That's the kind of sting operation I would be part of.
100%.
There's so many quotes in this movie that sound like it was written by Doc from Fraggle Rock when he's that character in Boondock Saints that can't get anything correct. Like, it's always like, make like a tree and get the fuck out of here.
The bartender. Why are we talking about Boondock Saints?
Because at one point the security guard says, hold your pants on.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I have that written down too, because that's not actually the right way to say it. There's another line where the chicken boy is getting the food ready for the security guard, and his boss is like, is that a cigarette in your mouth? And he goes, no, it's your dick.
Yeah, that's such a badass line, dude. Wayne's so badass.
That's not even a good comeback. It's like saying, I'm sucking your dick. Or is it saying that you have a small dick? Maybe, I don't know.
I like how they got in trouble. Like, they got in an argument and they were like, let's just compromise. They're like, what do cool kids wear? And someone's like, a tie-dye shirt. And someone's like, no, a yellow vest. No, a leather jacket. Oh, fuck. We're just going to hold it on them.
But I love that a character calls him out on it later on in the movie.
Annie, the runaway, who looks like she was in...
is in a high school play.
Yes. Well, I was thinking she looked like she was the runaway in every 80s rock video.
Annie, who has, I believe this is the exact line of dialogue she says when she shows up. Oh, hi, I'm Annie. I live in the vent so we could boost the body count a little bit.
You guys did change all the comments here.
Yeah. Jesus. She looks like a fucking chimney sweep in a high school version of fucking Mary Poppins.
And all girls, Mary Poppins.
So here's a fun, this is a fun deep dive for everybody. Strap in. It's time for fun with Matt Kelly. So the security guard is listening to polka music, but he's listening specifically to the song Little Old Lady Polka by Psychotic Symphony.
Ooh.
And, oh my God.
And this song also appears in Bad Channels that was released the exact same year as Demonic Toys. And when it's used in Bad Channels, it's because the radio DJ whose radio station gets taken over by the alien is doing an all polka night until they like raise X amount of dollars or something. Like, it's like some crazy, like wacky DJ thing where he's like, I won't stop playing this polka until we get a winning caller. And then in Domman vs. Demonic Toys that was released the next year, the plot line is that Domman teams up with one of the girls who was shrunken down into a little jar from Bad Channels to fight the Demonic Toys, which means that this is happening the same night as Bad Channels.
Which is super cool. Although the only thing I don't like is if we were all locked in an auditorium, right, then that makes sense to be like, I'm going to play polka all night until you give me money. But like if you're on a radio, it's like, I'm going to play polka all night. And it's like, well, then I'm going to change the channel. And now you get no money and no ratings.
Yeah, so I think the security guard is my favorite character in this movie.
Well, he's my fucking idol. Did you hear him describe his job? That's everything
he's like,
I want.
You need to find your niche.
My niche is doing nothing and looking at porn. Have you seen Miss July?
And he is watching Puppet Master. I'm surprised you didn't throw that in the mix.
Oh, that's on there too. He is watching Puppet Master later on.
That's not the deep dive. That's the obvious part. So, I mean, I get it. This movie is like so hyper aware of what it is that at times it's really fun. And other times just like, I fucking get it, you know?
Yeah.
I will say that I still think that Jack Attack looks fucking awesome.
Yes. Is that the Jack in the Box? Yeah. He's my favorite. Yeah.
Looks so cool. Scott, I have a question mainly for you because I know Matt's answer is no. In Ohio or any other state, Do delivery drivers have giant animal emblems on their car? Because I see it in a lot of movies, and I've never got to experience it as a kid.
No, it's not a thing.
It only happens when you have a really clucked up job.
Oh, God damn it, Matt. Jesus Christ. Did we invite your dad on for this? All right, so a couple things before we go any further. One, fun little story. I got Megan to watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space on Hulu with me over the last three nights before bed. So we did like, 20 or 30 minutes every night. She loved it. And she was like, let's watch other horror movies like this. And I was like, fuck yes, let's do that.
Let's watch Demonic Toys.
No, I not Demonic Toys. I suggested Critters 2. Ghoulies 2. I explained what Ghoulies 2 was about, and she was like, that sounds ridiculous, after I told her the high five, and she's on board. She was like, these are all Gremlins ripoffs. I was like, yeah, there are a lot. So the education of my wife is going to happen. I'm very excited. So
there was more Ghoulies ripoffs or more Gremlins ripoffs than the Gremlins franchise.
Not saying much, though. There's like six Gremlins ripoffs. And only two Gremlins movies.
But like every one of those ripoffs had a longer franchise than Gremlins as well. Like even Munchies had three movies.
Oh, like, God. Well, no. The first Munchie is more of like a Mac and Me E.T. ripoff, isn't it?
No. The first Munchies is the horror film, and then they made Munchie.
Oh, Munchie, which is the E.T. Mac and Me. Well, it's E.T. because Mac and Me was a ripoff of E.T. Yeah.
Which I believe...
Which Mac and Me is awesome.
I think...
Calm down.
I think one of them is getting a Blu-ray release from Scream Factory, but I can't remember if
it's
Munchies or Munchie.
I think that they're doing Munchies and Munchie on a double disc, aren't they?
They are.
Oh, they might.
And people were pissing themselves over that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is Dom DeLuise, RIP, obviously.
Oh, God.
And
I just did the like, and then put my finger back. Dom DeLuise.
That man voiced so many characters I adored as a child, and then he voiced Munchie. But
gotta go with the funniest, bro.
He voiced what's his name? The
Itchy.
Dog and All Dogs Go to Heaven. Yeah, Itch. Yeah. What a great guy. Rest in peace. And he played a great Godfather in every parody that involved the Godfather ever.
Yeah, weren't those all Shit. The guy that did Mel
they
Brooks.
They weren't all Mel Brooks because he played a Godfather type character in either The Godson or Mafia, or I think it was maybe even Saturday the 14th.
Yeah, but he was always the go-to Godfather guy. The best Godfather scene he ever did, though, is in Robin Hood Men in Tights. Yep.
Wait, was Saturday the 14th? Which movie was it where it was like the psycho bit where he falls down the stairs for like 5 minutes? Was that Saturday the 14th?
I think that's Saturday the 14th.
Is that it could be High Fidelity. Or High Anxiety.
No. It was a bad movie.
Oh, then, yeah, Saturday the 14th probably.
Wait. So the reason I brought up Killer Clowns, right, is because there is that stupid ice cream truck that the Terenzi brothers are driving around trying to pick up chicks.
Yeah.
And that has a giant clown on the top of it, too. So what year is Demonic Toys? 93?
92. So 92. It is well after Killer Clowns.
Killer Clowns was 88. But yeah, it's definitely an 80s movie trope. But I think that it was supposed to be meta in Demonic Toys. But you know that, what's his name, Wayne? Is that the delivery driver? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, he's a badass because he listens to hard rock in the chicken car.
Yeah,
like that's how you know a character's a badass. Like, oh fuck the man, I'm gonna listen to hard rock. Like, cranks it to 10.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But then we might have this back and forth through the rest of the episode, but I think that the best part of Demonic Toys, and I may change my mind as we talk about more of it, but the part that when I think of Demonic Toys, the part that I always think of, which is my favorite gif from this movie, is when the first guy in the jacket with the huge padded shoulders who got shot in the stomach is like dying on top of the little demon boy's grave. He sees the toys come alive and the bear comes towards him and he goes, and he sticks out his fingers and then the bear goes, rah, and he bites off three of his fingers. It's just so great.
Because it's funny because I have a note that just says that first death, though, because it was just that whole scene. I love
yeah, it. Is that the guy who gets his balls bitten off by the bear, or is that the later... I can't remember who gets.
Honestly, all the deaths are very similar.
Yeah, but they're so.
It's just a lot of goopy blood on someone's face every time.
Yeah, but the best death in this movie is actually the Jack in the Box, because he gets smashed and he's like full of. Do you guys remember those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? They're those hand pies. They are filled with. It was the Secret of the Ooze, and they are filled with green. Color
no,
vanilla.
You've talked about this before, and I think you're making it up every time.
No, I'm not making it up. But they were filled with this like green goop, and it looks like what Jack in the Box monster. What's he called?
Jack Attack.
Which sounds like just the dumbest name for a monster.
Sounds like an episode of Street Sharks.
Oh man, Street Sharks. Oh, we need to do like a full episode deep dive where we just do that entire season.
Yeah, that show's pretty jawsome.
Oh, God damn, man. I stepped right into that and didn't even realize. Wait, who is it? Is it when we see Oopsie Daisy for the first time? He goes, hi, guy.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, so here's the thing.
Fuck that character.
This movie was made
in 2008. It would be voiced by Andy Milonakis. It's just like this obnoxious, like, oh, fucking Christ, motherfucker. I'm a baby and I'm cursing.
So here's the problem with Baby Oopsie Daisy, because there's a couple issues. Baby Oopsie Daisy is voiced by a woman trying to sound like an old man, which is a problem. She also voiced Leech Woman in the Puppet Master film.
Oh, so all she did was go, ah!
But I have a note to jump back to what we were talking about where
God, I love
the guy, the guy is bleeding and it pans across all these toys, and I wrote, I wonder which toys will be the villains. Could it be the only three that look sinister?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many scenes in this movie that I just want to change the dialogue to make it more of a comedy. And it really starts with, you know how to handle that gun? I was really hoping the response for the security guard would be, I was in Korea back in 86 for my honeymoon. It was a nice little vacation. What was your question?
I have a note here that's not really making fun of the movie. It's just a thing that happens in films all the time that I adore, which is like the entitled murderer who's like, I got rights, lady.
Yeah.
Like, you just shot somebody in cold blood. Like,
yeah. I'll be out by morning.
Like, who are you exactly? But I do also have a note that's worth mentioning, which is that Jack Attack sounds like Salacious Crumb this entire movie.
He does. Yay! I'm so glad you caught that, too.
Oh, every man. Time it cuts to him, he's like...
That was a really good Salacious B. Crumb impression. I'm jealous.
Thank you. There was one moment that made me laugh with Baby Oopsie Daisy. Exactly.
Hi, you fat fuck!
No, I think it's the same one as me. Say
is it.
It
when he pops out from behind a box and just goes, miss me?
Nope, nope.
Okay.
Mine is Pop Goes the Fucking Weasel.
Oh, God. Are you going to start quoting ICP next? Because that's awful, awful.
Ha, 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 ha.
Fuck you.
Wicked clowns with what up to.
To the Stone Cold X-Men and Bounce. And everybody with clown love, even Sessa never heard of.
God damn it, I fucking hate the ICP so much. God.
It annoys me that the best looking of the toys is the one that dies first. They like, Jack Attack gets got like right in the middle
so
of this
good.
Fucking movie.
It's so good. The kill is so great because he's just stomping him in slow-mo, and there's still animatronics in that I mean, I think there are in that puppet, you know,
yeah.
Like there's animatronics in the real Jack Attack. And then I feel like it moves in such a way as it's getting stomped that they had some at least animatronics in the tail. Man, I miss little animatronic creatures instead of CGI because we were watching, you know, again, Killer Clowns. There's even animatronic popcorn. In that movie.
So here's an interesting thing to note about this episode. We are 18 minutes into this episode, mm-hmm. and we've talked about all of the stuff with the toys, which is what's really great in this movie. But what the movie thinks is really important is the fucking pregnant female cop and her conversations with a little boy that are such a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, can we just talk about how she's insane? And she's like that. So first of all, this is what happens when her. So the whole point is that she and her partner are fucking because that's good, you know, cop procedure. And she goes. We should get married when we're ready. So she asks if he ever thinks about getting married. And this is them as they're about to do this like super serious cop shit. And she goes, you ever think about getting married? And he goes, yeah, when we should get married when we're ready for kids. First of all, that's terrible advice. You should get married when you want to get married. You should not get married to have kids because you're going to miss all the fun parts of being married. And you're just going to go to the screaming babies, tense nights at the dinner table part of marriage. You're not going to have the fun part to build your relationship and then have the stressful part. So yeah, really bad advice. Don't do that. And then she's like, oh, you're not listening to me. I'm saying I'm pregnant. Like, listen, I am a pretty oblivious man and husband. No, like, even if I was clued in, I'd be like, whoa. You know, like, we have been dating for a month. You were pregnant? And his reaction is so unrealistic. He's just like, oh, great. Yeah. You know, he's like so nonchalant about it. But anyway.
Cool.
So, yeah. He's like, I'm going to be a dad.
Yeah.
Nice. All about it. Like hardened cops, undercover detectives aren't going to be stoked that their lives are going to be flip turned upside down.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air style.
Yeah. Her jacket is straight. Straight Prince of Bel-Air, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, it's so ridiculous, puffy. It's a salt and pepper jacket, straight up.
We're responsible enough to have children. All right, let's go on this bus with no backup.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Like, let's fucking do this. Actually, her line is, got your piece? Then let's dance. Oh, man. She's wait, I have more lines. Just let go. So he gets shot. And immediately dies. He shoots the guy in the stomach, then gets shot in the fucking chest. And he's such the guy that kills him is, I give him a pass to kill a cop because he's a much better shot than the fucking cop who has the drop on the criminal. So her boyfriend bleeds out and she goes, oh God, you bastards. And then she goes and finds the guy and she goes, "You're under arrest, asshole." And then there's another one where, I'm sorry. This is a little bit later and it's Wayne. But he's freaking out and he goes, "This is fucked. We got to get out of here." And then she slaps the shit out of him. Their acting is atrocious.
That scene, everyone, when they're in that room together, everyone was like, "This is my ticket out. Like, I'm going to take this movie. I'm going to act my ass off in this scene and everyone's going to take me out." Even like the one girl that plays like
Annie,
Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice as a chimney sweep. She's like, "Tom," she's like, "It doesn't matter." And then she just goes full on screaming. That scene is probably the most infuriating scene because everyone's either freaking out or an idiot.
Who so there's
kill you.
So there's one thing that we haven't mentioned that is very important to point out is among all of the other crazy things that are happening in this movie, there's also like a Biohazard album cover that's just pedaling a bike all around the inside of this warehouse.
Oh my God.
Which I don't know how big of the screen you guys watched, but they didn't even get gas masks. Like, those are just made from like a sock and like some paper cutout. Like, it's so weird.
Well, and then there's a scene where the bicycle girl rides right at the one dude and then she disappears and then she's back again as a child and then it cuts away for a second and then she's a naked Playboy playmate.
Yeah.
Well, they were halfway through the movie and they're like, "Holy shit, almost everything.
There are no boobs.
We don't have any boobs yet." Yeah.
You got to turn one of those Biohazard girls into a full-blown model.
Yeah, show some boobies.
Yeah, the noises that the teddy bear makes when he gets
shot. I have that line, too. I have a note like, about that, too.
Another perfect example, like, this is demonic toys. I don't like how it was a giant bear. I would have liked it if it was this giant fucking shadow, and then the tiniest, most dangerous toy comes out behind the box. You know what I mean?
But I think that it's just that that Chucky Band has been sitting on this costume since 1987 when he did Dolls and was like, "Yo, we could probably get another run out of this giant bear costume that we have."
I think like there's one doll that actually doesn't do anything. It's just when he summons all of them and it looks exactly like, not exactly like, but clearly the first prototype of Jester from Puppet Master.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's the only toy that comes to life midway through that actually has a menacing face. The rest is just like a snuffing puff hug bear that doesn't have any anger to him.
So
beyond the bear from Dolls, we also have a walking British soldier who is also from Dolls.
Yes.
I fucking love the callbacks that Full Moon does. And I think it is 50% because they know who their fans are. But that might be 25%. I think it's probably 75% because they're so cheap that they keep all of their props and use them a second time. But that's fine. I don't even care. I mean, I fucking love when the teddy bear turns into basically a werebear and just is going after him. And then he hits him with the car and the car explodes and oh my God, they really blew their load financially last but, like 20 minutes of this
I want to mention oh, go ahead, Brian.
No, it's no big deal. I was just gonna say it gets me like to enjoy the movie a little bit. Like for the most part, like I hated Evil Bong. I just thought it wasn't a good movie. But when you're inside the bong and you see like Ooga Booga and like all the callbacks to all the other Full Moon movies, it does make me enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but it does.
So I was going to say, let's part of something. Yeah. Let's take a quick second. And I know that this is a little bit more of the Analog Jones style of doing things, but fucking fantastic poster and VHS cover. Just putting those toys front and center and just being like, this is what you're getting. And I remember that cover being so cool as a kid. And guess what? I would still hang that fucking poster on my wall. Like, that poster is awesome.
Both movies that we – so this movie and last week's movie, both their movie posters are in my Amazon cart to get in my office because, yeah, Demonic Toys and Extro just have awesome, awesome fucking posters.
I love the Extro poster. I think I would say the Extro poster is better than the Demonic Toys just because it's painted.
Yeah.
I can look over at Jack – Jack Attack every day in my office. That'd be fantastic.
Well, I know what you're getting for Christmas this year.
Yeah, there's this whole like subplot that there's a little boy and he's actually the boy from the woman's dreams, and he talks like a full grown man because he's like the
devil.
That
kid actor is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, but still.
I'm just saying,
not necessary to the rest of this.
Yeah, well, hey Matt, or sorry, Brian, because Matt has no tattoos. Brian, do you want dibs on the tattoo of that kid holding a glass of red wine, or should I do it?
That is a great tattoo. I think you should do it. I'm gonna do Jack Attack because my tattoo artist is full on traditional. So,
oh like, yeah, I have a all few super portraits. Realistic.
Yeah, like mine are real, like old school traditional. So like it, when you do actual people, it's not as cool.
Question for you guys, because I may have looked away from the screen, but I vividly remember, like, I know that we went to a flashback, but does someone give birth to a devil and then bury it?
Yeah.
Is this movie?
Yeah, I want to talk about this. We got to talk about this. So this is technically a Halloween movie.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It happens on it doesn't sell itself as a Halloween movie. I forget. I've seen this movie like 4 times in my life, and I always forget it's a Halloween movie until the flashback. So the flashback, they go back to like the 30s or something. It says like 66 years ago, and it's the old biddy from Elvira, right? I think.
Yes,
she's like the midwife or something, and she. They give birth to this – the woman gives birth to this devil child. He comes out stillborn, and then these trick-or-treaters show up, and she goes, would you like something better than candy? And the kid's like, yeah! No kid would prefer a baby carcass instead of candy.
Yeah.
And so the kids are all excited. They take the bag, and they go over by this well. They just outside the house, and they open the bag up, and it's this demon baby, and they go – and they just throw it over their shoulder, like so nonchalant. And it falls into a well, which then they, like 66 years go by. And that's what the toy warehouse is built upon. So that's like the logical leap that you have to take. I don't even care. It's funny.
It's so ridiculous because like I feel like if you are a satanic cult and you're trying to give birth to a demon, it's not – you know, something that you really want to advertise. It's a very private thing. So it's like, yeah. I'll give it to children. They can keep a secret. They won't say anything.
Secret from their diary, much less somebody else. I think we got kind of out of order a little bit because that that flashback happens before the naked lady.
Yeah.
Because she's at like the 1 hour mark area. And we also have a master class on fighting inanimate objects before that too, because they fight Jack Attack and Baby Oopsie Daisy, and then Annie gets stabbed in the fucking eye.
Yeah.
I don't know why that would kill you, but whatever. And then Wayne's walking around because the playmate turns into Annie and he's like, oh God, and he's like gagging, like, why? You knew that chick for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Are you really that upset that she's dead? She's not like your love interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's homeless.
Yeah.
In front of you.
She probably smelled terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the lady who hands him the baby, and her IMDb credits are pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Starters. But she's still alive. She's 89 years old.
Really? I would have thought she was 80 in this movie. Yeah. Time was not kind to her.
Yeah, and this was a couple years after Elvira.
Elvira was 89, right?
86, I think.
No way.
Let me see. I was just looking at it.
Look at 89. I'm pretty sure Elvira.
88.
Okay, close.
But yeah, so this movie's bonkers.
Wait, we're missing two things that I want to talk about. So... the shotgun swing decapitation.
Okay,
I don't remember who gets decapitated, but somebody, like, there's no bullets left in the gun, no rounds left in the shotgun, and so somebody just gets bang, their head gets popped off. It's pretty sweet. And then Judith gets telekinetic powers. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
She moves stuff with her hands or something, or with, you know, like, by she becomes Jean Grey with the Phoenix Force for a minute, but it's never even discussed. And then she gets some help from the little British army soldier, and it's actually her unborn baby who is the one who is fighting the demon baby son in her dreams. And he's like, I won't get to see you for 8 months. I can't wait to be your son. You're going to be a great mom. And then that's it.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
And then she wants to take the easy way out. What's your name? You haven't given it to me yet. Damn it. All right.
I'll figure it out. Lazy fucking parenting right there.
It's worth noting, by the way, the sequel to this, quote unquote, Dahman vs. Demonic Toys is 64 minutes long.
Oh my God.
And the movie has to make sure that anybody who's watching it has seen Dahman, Bad Channels, and Demonic Toys. So the first 30 minutes is just showing clips from the previous movies. So this was a really big, like, money saver release for them, I think. But it features our guy, our favorite short man, Phil Fondacaro. Wait,
Phil Fondacaro is in this movie?
He plays the security guard in the second movie.
Oh, in the second movie. Sorry,
I in thought the you second were still movie. Talking- Demonic and toys. Baby Oopsie Daisy has a new voice actor who is Frank Welker, who voiced everyone ever, but most importantly Fred on Scooby Doo.
And we do have Tracy Scoggins in this movie, who was in Hellborn in 2003, starring Tommy Lister, who was also in No in 2012, starring Michael Keaton, who was in.
Oh!
I really thought you were going to go with the old lady that Scott was talking about, to be fair.
Man, he didn't want the easy way out because she was actually Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
the inspiration for Beetlejuice. So I almost wonder, I feel like part of me believes that you have to have some type of website where you can just type in two movies and it will build the link for you.
You can do it with Kevin Bacon. That's what I did for Tremors, but the rest of it, it's a quick search. I mean, you just have to recognize a movie, kind of. That's all it is. You know, like, I looked up Bentley Mitchum, who plays Wayne. And I was like, I don't recognize any of these movies unless someone in Walker, Texas Ranger can get me to. Ugh.
So can I do my own attempt?
Uh-huh.
So the old lady that Scott was talking about, Pat Crawford Brown, was in Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, which starred Cassandra Peterson, who appears in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Pee-wee Herman,
nice.
Paul Rubens, appears in the beginning of Batman Returns, so that features Michael Keaton as Batman, who played Beetlejuice.
Wow, that's awesome. See, you're doing it better than me, because mine is like, I'm like going through IMDb. You just know this stuff.
It's just because I vaguely remember, like, out of nowhere I was like, oh yeah, that's right, Elvira pops up in Pee-wee's Big Adventure for like a millisecond as a biker chick.
Oh yeah,
I say you let me have him first. That's her big line in the movie.
I say you let him go.
Let him go. Hey guys, just taking a quick break in the middle of the episode to remind you that if you head over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/HMNpodcast, you'll be able to find a whole plethora of fun, exciting episodes that you will not hear on this feed. We talked about The Wicker Man. We've talked about Turbo Kid. We've talked about UHF. There's a bunch of other things that we talked about. I feel like I'm blanking on one. One that I picked that I loved. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, which I still stand by is a great movie, and Scott and Brian can go suck a dick. And finally, out this month, we have an episode talking about the infamously bad Howard the Duck. So go over to patreon.com/HMNpodcast and donate $5 a month to listen to all the exciting bonus episodes. Now, back to the show.
So, what was your guys' double feature idea for Demonic Toys? There's a solid chance that Scott and I have the same one.
Well, okay, so do we want to just put dolls out there and say we can't do dolls?
Well, then crap. But sure.
I say that one is too easy.
Yeah, because that was what... Okay. You guys go... Brian, you go first, then, while I try to think.
Okay, so my double feature is a movie that I was really excited for when it came out, and it ended up being a letdown. And the reason that it's my double feature is because this movie made me think of demonic toys when these toys came to life. And I said, wow, half these toys are literally ripped from demonic toys, which is Krampus, the Adam Scott comedy horror that came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed Krampus. It's not great.
It should have been. It should have been an R, I think.
Yeah,
it was too.
Absolutely.
I wanted it to be more bloody, more. You know, it was more like Gremlins.
It was pretty bleak, though.
Yeah, it was more like a Gremlins, like ruckus. Like I liked the ending a lot. The ending was cool because it pissed me off at first, thinking it was just a dream. But sorry, spoiler alert. But you had
three years to watch an average movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that movie too, due to the fact that it was. It felt like they were just like, okay, what are all the monsters that we could put in it?
Yeah,
it didn't need to make sense.
But you got
to
understand, like Trick or Treat is top five horror for me. Like I love Trick or Treat, so I really wanted a Trick or Treat with Adam Scott, like a darker comedy, and it was just more Christmas for family. Yeah,
yeah. Also, I think that the biggest problem that I have personally with Krampus is that there was a lot of CG where there really wasn't much of any in Trick or Treat.
Yes, yes, very true.
My double feature, I'm going to say, and this is going to be a little weird, but you're going to start with this movie and you're going to end with demonic toys. And what you're going to watch is Rosemary's Baby and then pretend that the baby born in the movie became the baby that caused the demonic toys.
Also disrespectful to Rosemary's Baby.
No, that's that is the most horror movie night thing I can imagine. Starting with something great and then ending with something shit. Oh, I mean, demonic toys is not like a... We've watched a lot worse. It's no Uncle Sam, all right?
Yeah.
No, which is also not the worst thing that we've watched this year.
I'm not shitting on it. It's just like, hey, Roman Polanski, you ever think about teaming up with Charles Band? You guys make similar movies.
Listen, with his rap sheet, I feel like he can only do movies with Charles Band if he comes to America.
Yeah, yeah, I have to agree. So I'm going the exact opposite direction and going very tenuous. I would say you start with demonic toys, and then you have the backstory of the killer mutant bear, Prophecy 1979.
Ooh!
Wow,
nice.
Or
a movie that's mostly boring but has one of the best deaths of all time.
Yeah, the sleeping bag death, which is actually one of the first times that Matt and I really became best friends. when he was like, "You have to see." Was that on the first episode that we did?
Yeah, we talked about Behind the Mask, and then I think it was like the second movie that like we were going to do another movie, and then it was going to be Prophecy, and we were talking to you about Prophecy because Miguel and I were super excited to watch it, and you're like, oh, I've never heard of it. I'm like, not only am I going to send you a link to this scene, I'm not letting you get off the phone until I listen to you react to it.
Is that in the episode? It's been so long since I've listened.
No, it's not in the episode, unfortunately.
Oh, that's so funny, though, because I remember like losing my shit. Oh, man. But if you couldn't find a copy of Prophecy, I guess you could watch Annihilation because it's got a killer mutant bear thing. But I don't know. I think Prophecy would be a good fit.
I feel like Prophecy is not that hard to track down. And it also has a really great poster.
It does. It's got two things going for it, but it's definitely not worth the price of admission.
I mean, he does fight a mutant bear. There is a chainsaw fight sequence that happens for no reason in Prophecy as well.
Wow, and I've still not watched it yet, so...
That was one of the many films that you lied about watching.
Yeah, that first like 3 months, I lied about like 2/3 of the films. And I don't even feel bad.
Nah. All right, well, that was Demonic Toys from 1992 as picked by Zach. If you would like to suggest us some movies that you would want to see us discuss, you got to send those emails at hmmpodcast@gmail.com. I believe the plan for the next Listener Submitted month is going to be in April. So get those in over the next couple of months, and then we'll have a nice big pool that we can pull from to determine what movies we'll discuss for that April Listener Submitted month. Get those bad boys flowing in, please. Also, just a quick reminder, this is the last episode we are uploading to SoundCloud. from this point on, the only way that you'll really be able to listen to the show is subscribing on iTunes. Hopefully we'll be on Spotify pretty shortly after this switchover, but we'll let you know about that as soon as we know. And you can check out the website, hmnpodcast.com. That has links to all of the cool stuff that we do on social media, as well as every single episode. So you can go ahead and listen to the episodes there if you really, really, really don't want to listen to us on iTunes for some reason. That is everything that I have to say. So tune in next week when it's fucking October. It's not just an October. It's a Rocktober.
Oh,
I'm gonna go ahead.
Yes.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Scott came up with this idea, and it's fucking brilliant. So all month October, we're talking heavy metal horror films. Strap the fuck in.
Ah!
That's, it is.
Yeah.
Brian, do you know who Salacious B. Crumb is?
No, but I'm laughing anyway to feel a part of.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.